Welcome to the CDL People vs. Profit podcast. I'm Andrew Dickens, and in this episode, we're exploring how putting people first is more than an empty HR platitude. According to recent research, it makes real business sense. So I've got two guests here. First of all, from CDL, Jane Kennelly. Hello, Jane.
Kia ora, Andrew.
And Managing Director of Frog Recruitment, Shannon Barlow. Welcome to you.
Hi, thanks for having me.
And Jane, you're at CDL. Now, what do you do with CDL and why have we got two of you here today?
Right, so yes, I'm with CDL Insight Consulting. And just to frame CDL really well, we're an organisation that supports people that are facing redundancy. We support some businesses that are going through restructuring and are having to make people redundant. Career transition and outplacement as a result of that. And we also help organisations who are going through really difficult periods of change. So certainly this year we've seen a lot of action, and I guess we're going to get to that shortly. But it's a real privilege and a pleasure to be working alongside Frog Recruitment in this particular interview, because we've worked with Frog for a very long time, and we certainly know that they are an organisation that understands the trends and the really gritty stuff that's happening in the market, and they've added a lot of value to our work that way, and we've loved working with them. So it's thrilling to work with Shannon today.
First question I have to ask, why did you call your recruitment company Frog?
I think it comes down to that movement and opportunity. And when we were brainstorming ideas around what we wanted to be and to be able to, I guess, provide to candidates particularly, it was facilitating those moves and
jumping, moving, changing direction, like a frog.
Like a frog.
I think it's a great name, personally. Now, let's get right into some really fascinating research that has been done. Frog Recruitment have released a research report. It's called Reshaping the World of Work, because the world has been reshaped. I don't know if you know that there's been some sort of virus going around, and the entire globe has changed the way it does things. So you can tell me, Shannon, what did your research find?
Sure. So at the start of the pandemic, we thought it was really important to, I guess, come out of our own bubble in a way, and to be able to talk to our candidates and clients and see what the experience was across the board. So we surveyed our customer base across Australia and New Zealand, and that covered a wide range of industries, both at the start of the lockdown in April and then again in August, just to see how those experiences were changing and the trends to come through. So some of the key findings there were expected. We found that 92% of businesses switched to working from home, so not a big surprise there. What we hadn't expected, though, were things like candidate hesitancy. So at the start, we were lucky enough to still have a number of vacancies that we were working on and expected to be flooded straight away with all these newly unemployed job seekers looking for work. And at the very start, there was a lag in that. I think it was due to a couple of things. So one was around the uncertainty of the times and worry about their safety. So you might get someone who was initially really interested and, I need to take this job and I need to get in there. And then when they thought about it, went, oh, let's weigh up the pros and cons of this. As well as further along, once we did start to see an increase in volumes of applications coming through, we found at the tail end we would have a hesitancy or reluctancy for people to leave the safety of their current roles or to look at new opportunities, and also just to allow the dust to settle. So that was something that we weren't expecting.
It was surprising. You know, you would think that people would have, a rocket under their bum and they'd want to get out there and change things before things change for them. But you also found that a lot of employees were getting burnout. Now, what sort of burnout are you talking about?
Yeah, so I think that was a big surprise, because there was some perception that, well, isn't everybody at home? They're, missing the commute. They've got more free time. But what we found is the pressure to, I guess, have all hands on deck meant that people were either expected to work longer hours and they may have been on reduced hours, or they felt that pressure themselves to go, right, well, I need to do everything I can to be able to keep things afloat.
But it could also be the thing that they're at home and they want to be perceived as still working just as hard, but they have no witnesses there, and so people just drive themselves a bit harder.
Yeah, definitely. The other thing as well was the lack of separation between work life and home life, especially when, like me, I'm sure many their office now became in the middle of your lounge room or your kitchen table. So it's very easy to see that extra email or to go, oh, okay, I'll just work on this for 10 more minutes, or it doesn't matter to do it on the weekends. So we found that people's work days were actually increasing, as well as all the stress of uncertainties.
The amount of work was increasing, the stress was increasing. We were all stressed about what was happening to our country. Maybe I can ask you, Jane, and bring you in here. The survey also found out that mental health has been a very critical factor over this past year, and how we've dealt with it hasn't necessarily been good, and challenges we didn't necessarily expect.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Look, mental health, anxiety, anxiousness, people feeling displaced, disengaged, was very evident over the pandemic phase. It grew significantly. It escalated out of all proportions, anything that we'd ever seen before, actually. But what it did show is that there are some organisations out there that are really attuned to their people, and there are some organisations that are quite tone deaf to what was happening. Now, we saw examples of organisations where the senior leadership teams were totally in place and in tune with their staff. They would be in regular contact. They were texting, they were making video blogs, they were making sure that their people felt all right and that they were being listened to and heard. And there were others that were understandably probably panicking but took no notice really of the internal anxiety that was growing in their business. So then sort of some panic set in with some organisations as well. And what we saw is that, of course, there was naturally restructuring that happened. There were outplacement requirements and people were made redundant. And in many cases this year, the people that were losing their jobs were going home to a home environment that often would have been able to support them in previous years. But this year, their support network were losing their jobs as well. So it was in a very extreme and pressurised situation. So it brought out those organisations that did really good things by their people and those organisations that just didn't understand the importance of their reputation through what was a very difficult phase for all of their people. Not only the ones that end up leaving, but the ones that stay behind.
Mm. Yes, well, CDL, when it works with outplacements and dealing and advising people who are leaving and transitioning and going to new places, you talk all the time about having a great brand reputation, about if you're doing this job, do it properly. Now, I can tell you my workforce, while we were going through this, every week we got an email that said, if you're having difficulties with this, we have engaged a mental health agency that was going to help you, and you put your hand up and ask for help. So this will be the message that CDL will be saying to many businesses right now, to invest in help for your staff, even if they're the ones you're going to lose, is in fact an investment for the future.
Exactly. You've nailed it perfectly, Andrew. Can you imagine if you'd actually just received an email out of the blue that said you'd lost your job?
Yeah.
And that was happening across the country as employers used this as an opportunity to get around some interesting legal issues as well. So it's been devastating for individuals. So one of the things that outplacement does do is it holds the hand of the individual and it allows them to transition with good grace and dignity into effectively a new life that's possibly unknown at the outset because they don't know what they're going to be doing. But equally, those observing the process are looking at their employer and going, you know what, you're doing the right thing by these people and we feel good about you and we trust you. We trust you to do the right thing. But the organisations that did the opposite, Shannon, you would agree, we are fielding inquiries from people who have actually in very stable work at the moment who are quite happy to leave that organisation because of the way they've treated their outgoing people.
Mm, it's been the most important factor, and people realise the situation, and I'm going to unsuccessfully try to avoid saying unprecedented, but you know, they realise that sometimes redundancies were a reality and something that needed to happen. But what was crucial was how it was handled and how they dealt with their people. And that makes all the difference. So you said treating with dignity and respect, and not only for while they're going through that process, but it's how they view them afterwards as well.
That's exactly right, because they then talk to their family, their whānau, they have conversations, and those conversations are either, I feel good about what happened with me, even though I didn't like it, or I was just dropped like a strawberry.
Or they go to a competing organisation and go, well, those blokes over the road, they're terrible, you know, and that's a competitive advantage that is given away. We're talking about the changes that you saw from your survey for organisations. Mm-hmm. What about the individuals? Because you work at Frog Recruitment. You're actually dealing with people who are now looking for new jobs. Have they changed substantially from 2019? The sorts of people or the mindset of a person who comes in to see you, has that changed?
I think it, in terms of what's important to them and when they're weighing up what type of opportunities or organisation to join has definitely changed. So we've found that the company or team culture is now the number one criteria for choosing a job. Whereas even if we go back a year or so, you would have seen more of those things like work-life balance that are still there, and obviously now it will be more than, I guess, paying lip service to what flexible working means. But number one key is around that culture, and as Jane was saying, around how they treat their people and guide them through these really challenging times.
I think you said something very good there when you said lip service, because I remember in 2019 that fella from the insurance agency released the 4-day working week book and everyone went, never work. And now so many firms are doing this, and all those people who used to talk about flexibility are now, well, they got forced into doing it and had this hallelujah moment that they found that they actually became more productive. It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah. We found as well that, you know, we're expecting when we were slowly but surely coming down the levels and we'd been in lockdown, the expectation was once we were able to go back to the office, that this would be something positive that everybody wanted to do. But we actually found with the majority of employees, quite liked being at home or wanted to stay. Now, it's not for everyone, and I think there's still, for each organisation, it's about finding that balance and what works for them, because there's a lot of benefits in that community and being able to, you know, bounce ideas off each other and run into each other into the kitchen. And
corridor conversations, very important. Okay, so we've got a lot of firms who have now realised that people are working from home. That means they can have a smaller office. That means their employment desires have changed. So when you're acting on behalf of an employer and you're looking for new employees, has your questions changed and your requirements changed from 2019? So, for instance, do you say, how are you at working from home now, which you never used to say before?
Sure. I think it was still flexible working and working. The option to work from home was still there. But it's obviously the take-up has been much more extreme now. And I think, as you said, for employers to be able to see, oh, actually, they're not all just watching Netflix all day, or they can be quite productive. In some cases, we've seen an increase in productivity as well, that they're really working hard to be able to work that into a balance and to be able to provide that. So sometimes it's just the adoption, that the technology was already there. So things like Teams or ability to record and track work. But definitely the take up and buy-in from across businesses was so much greater, and often in a very short time period. So, you know, the number of stories where we've had, say, Microsoft Teams implemented across a workforce of 200 plus in 4 days, and everybody's up and running. So that, I guess, that necessity has really driven some good change as well.
Why didn't I buy shares in Zoom?
Yeah.
Is the question I think the entire world has asked themselves in 2020. Jane, have you worked with anybody who's been through the COVID-19 process of losing their job and then coming out the other side?
Yes, I have actually, in fact, today. So I'm having some work done in my home, and a lovely young builder has turned up called Sarah. And I said to her, how did you get into this, Sarah? And she said, I was working in Queenstown. I'd done my diploma or degree in hotel management, and I lost my job because of the hospitality industry downturn. And so I thought, what will I do? And she decided to become a builder, and she's currently undertaking a building apprenticeship. So I thought that was actually a really positive story, and it's not isolated. We've seen a lot of examples of people that have actually had to change. They've had to pivot very quickly, using the old pivot word as well. Mm. I mean, when you lose your job, you know, there's a whole process that often goes on in someone's mind. I mean, they do lose their confidence. They do need a lot of support. They feel that they have failed, when this is actually nothing to do with them whatsoever. I mean, in fact, we're really careful around our dialogue when we talk about people who've lost their jobs. You know, their role was disestablished, not the person. And once they're through that noise, one of the things that outplacement can really support them with is to prepare themselves to transition into looking for new work. And those opportunities aren't sometimes the blindingly obvious ones, that they kind of think, that's the only thing I can do, and that's the only thing I'll ever be able to do. But we introduce them to the notion of their transferable skills and other cultures and work environments where they'll be able to pick up sticks quite quickly and learn the new way, and encourage them just to look far broader than keeping themselves in a little tight box. And we all know through COVID, of course, that we heard the stories around the pilots that had to really take on something quite different because they had families to support. And so one of our clients through, actually I think I heard through Frog Recruitment, had Qantas pilots on their in their manufacturing plant, and those people were working with great precision and accuracy. So, but you know, it's a process. It's a psychological process that needs to be worked through, and that's where helping someone by holding their hand through it is so important.
And that's where CDL is good. You know, you are guiding and you're helping people transition and become a new version of themselves and possibly better. But here's a question for you. There's an awful lot of knowledge that you would need to know in CDL because everything has changed. For instance, your builder, there's $1.6 billion that the government has put into polytechnic training. And people are suddenly discovering that and they don't know about that sort of stuff. So does CDL know about all the changing landscapes and all the things that we can do?
Yes, look, and that's the beauty of CDL. They're involved with an organisation that really has their finger on what's happening in the market, the employment market. And that's one of the reasons why I think it's so valuable, because employers themselves don't know. They might read things or hear things as far as the news is concerned, but actually the employment market is a really interesting one at the moment. We've got no new people coming into the country. We have skill shortages that are absolutely dire, and we have industries and areas that require people urgently to help bolster New Zealand and get us on the, you know, momentum campaign. So yes, we're a perfect example of an organisation that has a broad view of the world and the landscape of employment and can direct people and really help them head in the right direction.
And this is something I've said quite regularly, that the employers need to actually have an independent eye by employing an agency such as CDL, an independent eye to keep them separate in the relationship between the employer and the employee, and you know, to show that there is no agenda and everybody's working for each other.
That's exactly right. You know, it's a smart risk management program as well, because it does give a degree of protection for the organisation. It means that they actually can go through the process with great accuracy, that they're not making any mistakes, and they're not opening themselves up for some legal action later on down the track. But not only that, I think the key thing too, we all forget, it is often as well about those that remain behind, and this is a significant way of building trust and showing that you work with great decorum and professionalism and that you respect the people that you work with. And I think, you know, the old adage of kindness pays dividends actually also is very true in this department, because organisations that have got great trust, they've built good performance, people understand the direction. And as Shannon said before, you know, knowing that businesses go through highs and lows, but in watching actions speak louder than words and watching how these programs of work are delivered to the ones that have to possibly exit the organisation can lead to great profitable growth.
Yes, well, we've got the wellbeing budget now.
Yes.
For some people, they find hard to ascertain value to being human. And it's very important, Shannon, to be human in both of your jobs.
Definitely. There can be complacency creep in to think, oh, well, we've gone through this place, we've kept who we can keep within the business, the work is done, but it's ongoing, and obviously that human touch, and for people to feel like their best interests are being looked after is really crucial. Really, that currency of kindness is something that's really crucial these
days. Tangible. Yeah. Stick it on your balance sheet. Take a look at it. It has actually got a monetary worth to you, even if you can't necessarily see it in the first place.
Look, Andrew, I've got a really good example, but it's quite an extreme one around kindness. And we were approached to support an Afghan refugee over COVID. And this particular individual had a master's of cybersecurity, but were facing having to exit the country because of what was happening at the time. They had a wife and a little baby. So we were approached actually by a group of people that wanted to support this individual, and so needed to provide them a very practical outplacement program. So anyway, to cut a long story short, through Frog Recruitment's actions as well, we were able to identify an organisation that was prepared to interview them over that time. Yep. It did take some weeks, because for every week we were waiting for the new level, and so the recruitment process did draw out, but we kept in mind that the individual concerned needed constant communication, so that happened regularly. And it's a good news story because at the end of the day, they were actually employed and are now remaining in New Zealand. And it wasn't till later when I was talking with the individuals that were supporting this person through their outplacement program that they said, look, we don't know if you realise, but if he had gone back to Afghanistan, he would have been hunted down and killed. Yeah. So in this instance, you have saved a human being's life. Wow. And that's, I have to say, the first time in my career doing that type of work, and I think with Shannon as well, that we've had such a heart-rendering example of good work.
Beautiful. Now, I was very intrigued, Shane, when you were saying, gosh, you're all busy at the moment, you know, because our first impressions after the pandemic was going to be, you know, wasteland and just everyone unemployed, and even people started throwing around the financial depression word, for goodness sake. And yet, tell me, Shannon, from Frog Recruitment's point of view, are we seeing that? Or in fact, it seems to me that we're almost seeing a boom in particular areas, that we're on fire.
I wouldn't quite say it's a boom, but there's definitely some really encouraging signs. So we're seeing job numbers increase. We expected to see the contractors in temporary space, as well as fixed-term contracts, to hold things up in the initial stages, which makes sense because the work doesn't go away. We saw lots of businesses moving in new directions and not necessarily having the skills and resources to be able to do that themselves. But now, over the last few months, we're seeing those permanent roles come back and things that were placed on hold over lockdown coming back on board, as well as some really exciting things where, again, if they're moving in a new direction or developments within the business, to be able to look at this and use it as a chance to rebuild and to get things right as well.
And we're seeing people realise, well, I'm not going to launch a tourism business right now. I'm not going to launch a foreign student business right now. And they're not stupid, so they look around. There's an old saying in French, cherchez le créneau, you look for the gap. So they've found the gap in the productive area, the area that hasn't been affected by COVID, which is 80% of the economy. I saw a great job the other day about some poor guy who was driving a tour bus, and so he gave up on that. He's now making rain collection facilities to help Aucklanders in the drought, and he's just had to employ 8 new people. And here's his thing. He's never had to employ people before. So I guess you bump into people like that as well who suddenly have that expansion.
Yes, definitely. We saw it in the early stages with the boom of e-commerce or within the restaurant and hospitality sector moving to deliveries and really changing their business and doing it quickly. So, you know, the Kiwi ingenuity and spirit, it was great to see people being able to change and adapt. And that's brought a real momentum through as well, which is really great to see in New Zealand.
And look, can I add to that? One of the things that's coming through in the outplacement conversations is, yes, people want a job, they need security, of course, but they've also got these notions of side hustles. So, you know, this ingenuity that you mentioned is coming through not only through completely changing occupations, but just understanding that there's some other stuff that could be going on in their lives as well. And we saw an explosion of side hustles through COVID, as there was a significant increase in the number of things that we could buy from various people in their cottage industries. But this is fantastic. And it's not unusual, particularly with millennials, that they've got 2 or 3 of these on the go at any one time. So our conversations are far more expansive than they used to be. And we've been doing this work, as you know, for 22 years. And it doesn't matter what level of the hierarchical organisational structure we're working with, be it senior C-suite individuals that we work with, right through to the shop floor and the manufacturing plant. Yes, individuals want jobs, but boy, the side hustle is really starting to get a little bit of momentum.
And the side hustle is always something that you have passion for. And there's other jobs that you just need the cash flow for. And passion is always very important, don't you think, Sharon?
Yes, definitely. I think it's been a privilege to be able to work with people through this challenging time and to play a real influence in, whether that's in placing them into a new organisation, into a new role, or perhaps it's just exploring those options and going, okay, is it the best thing to do what you've done before, or is this a chance to break free and do something new?
Actually, Jane, I can hear your passion coming through as well.
Absolutely. Look, it's about really helping people be the very best person they can be in their chosen career field and introducing them to some options that they may never have considered before. It is about giving people confidence at a time when they need someone on their team that can give them objective feedback, really great advice, show them a pathway forward so it's not just like a dark tunnel. But equally, the same applies for their colleagues that they leave behind, that actually they are being taken care of and that the future can be very bright. And, you know, how many times have we heard it when people say, oh, the best thing that happened to me was, I was made redundant at one stage. And that may well be the case. But boy, when you're going through that process, it's incredibly demanding. Mm-hmm. And it's very, I actually feel rather low. And certainly that depression factor's come in quite clearly through COVID. So it is great work. We feel that it's important work, treating people with dignity and respect. And that's what it's all about.
And we're all in this together. It's a team of 5 million. And employers and employees are just people. And we're all working together. And we all want the best for each other. So I can see why you're both so turned on by the whole thing. And I thank you both for your time. Jane Kennelly and Shannon Barlow, thank you so much for your insights.
Thanks, Andrew.
Thank you, Andrew.
So if you've enjoyed this episode, give us a 5-star rating and think about who else you know who'd find it helpful and pass it on. In the next episode, I'm speaking to Kirsten Nickel from CDL Insight Consulting, and we'll look at whether outplacement can work in favour of the employer. So make sure to subscribe to the CDL People vs. Profit podcast. We're on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and the full series is at cdlinsight.co.nz.